gender assignment. This is the life you will pluck woman from the tree and bite off more than you can chew at first. It won't be easy at first, but that was the point entirely at first. To understand the snake before you can shed its skin and do it again and again and again.
You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone.
I wrote that poem last year in the middle of the night. If you've been following my Instagram or have read my work, you know this is just a part of my process. I'm a midnight writer. The door of my head is always wide open, but in those sleepy late night and early morning hours are when most of my work waltzes through. And with where I've been mentally, emotionally lately, this poem makes a ton of sense. I just celebrated my 36th birthday, exiting stage left from a perfection year 12 and into a perfection year 1, and so much about this next year feels like big changes. Big, beautiful, positive. I'm going to go ahead and set that intention now. Positive changes. And in fact, we just tapped on this in High Vibe Honey recently on Embracing Change. And if you don't know what High Vibe Honey is, it's a tapping program, EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. But it's a program run by Gala Darling, who is incredible and so inspiring. But if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I've mentioned this multiple times, tapping, and how it's magic. Anyway, I feel like this next chapter is called Level the Fuck Up and about saying yes, even though things can seem scary. So it's all about change. Much like change, this poem came out of nowhere because at the time I hadn't been writing as much or feeling particularly creative, but this short poem came through because she had a message for me, one that I didn't understand in its entirety until a couple of weeks later when I could slide out of one skin and into the next. When I finally set down the heavy shit I was carrying to just breathe. Even if you didn't read the title, you can probably sense where this episode is going. I'll circle back to the poem, but we're first going to open on a bit of a gross note. I had a dream the other night. What else is new? But I had a dream the other night about a clogged toilet. I'll spare you the details, but I was trying to flush it all down and get rid of it, and then it started coming up through the drain in the floor. Now, I know this is disgusting to think about, but it's a pretty clear metaphor. Our dreams offer us so much insight and wisdom. One, if we can remember them in the first place, which if you're like me, you typically do. I'm kind of amazed at people that say they don't ever remember their dreams, or people that say they don't dream, because literally everyone dreams. Just some people, like me, I guess, have the capability of remembering them and other people don't, but... And two, if we just take a beat to really analyze them and ask ourselves what they mean, like pay attention to your dreams. They're little visuals of your subconscious. And sometimes they're really fucking weird or gross, but they can also be really beautiful and amazing and insightful. It's literally just a bunch of Forrest Gump. You never know what you're going to get. And this one for me was about feeling stuck and stagnant and an inability to let go. I've felt this a lot lately of where I am in my personal journey overall. I've been comparing myself to myself. I've been comparing myself to a former version. Around this time in 2022, I was on my third or fourth solo trip at peak physical condition, like the most fit I have ever been. I had so much energy and just felt like this, the most confident, badass, wild, and woo version of myself. Like if Beyonce and Michonne from Walking Dead had a baby, it would have been me at that version, at that state of my journey. And I felt so inspired and grateful and ready to just take on the world in my heels with my pen. And I felt unstoppable. And then last year, it was a whole lot of struggle, a lot of bouts of depression, a lot of really challenging lessons, a lot of, oh God, why? And even this year, at the beginning of this year, it was things like imposter syndrome, a whole lot of self-doubt when my second poetry book was about to release, and more comparison on social media. And I was kind of sad for some of those experiences to be over. Not the hard ones, the challenging ones. I'm always kind of glad that they're over, but like the inspiring, adventurous ones. And I was thinking about what's coming next, about what I want, really, really big things. I'm not fully ready to openly admit on my podcast yet. Maybe I'm a bit superstitious, but I know there's a lot of change coming in my future, but it's all baby steps. And with all that change, it can be really challenging to embrace. So here I am sitting down to talk about it after first giving myself a TED talk in the shower, because for some reason, that's where I do my best work. Actually that, and in the car, so much that I've started voice noting myself now on my commute home from work, because the thoughts just flow so well and I seem to have little personal epiphanies when I do that. But I was talking beneath the steam and I was like, I should really be writing this down, this whole episode on change. So I hopped out of the shower and tried to jot down as much of this as I could and filled in the holes later. But my shower thought epiphany was that we shouldn't compare ourselves to anyone else. Yes, we all know this. Like, how is that an epiphany? Hang on. But we also shouldn't compare ourselves to ourselves, to who we were last month or last year or 5 years ago. And we shouldn't fear what's coming. We have to embrace it. Recently, when I was taking my dog out in my front yard, I happened to glance down and notice a blue-tailed skink, which is a small species of lizard, just chilling on my grass. Which is not unusual for me to spot lizards in my yard. This one was not skittish at all. I don't know if he was injured or what, but he let me get close enough to touch him, and I even tried to pick him up, and he wiggled from my grasp and quickly skidded away, leaving a message in his place. His tail had fallen off. And I often get little visitors from nature that bring these messages. I've experienced a hummingbird. This was the coolest one, or one of the coolest ones. A hummingbird hovering for a split second only inches from my face on my back deck at my old house. Bugs dropping from trees overhead and casually landing next to my coffee cup like a house guest arriving right on time. I've glimpsed stingrays along the shore only moments after asking for a sign. And the coolest one was a pink striped oakworm moth hanging out in broad daylight on my sliding door. So this giant pink and orange fuzzy moth who let me pick him up and experience, I could feel like the literal vibration of his wings as he was on my fingertip. And that one, I have a video to prove it. So cool. But this little blue lizard guy arrived, reminding me to let go. And here's where my biology degree comes in handy, because this is the only thing I seem to use it for, is poem inspiration and the occasional random science fact. You probably know this already, but lizards are known for their ability to regenerate their tails. And this process is actually called caudal autonomy, the ability to voluntarily, keyword there, self-amputate a portion of their tail, which then regenerates over time. And the lizard came to remind me that when we let something go, we allow something new to grow in its place. Universe Lesson 101, making space. Also, thanks universe for sending me a cute little blue lizard and saving the snake for a poem. But we're in a constant state of change because we're energy, and energy can't be created or destroyed, only transformed, yada, yada, yada. We already know this. So who I was last year is gone. Who I was 2, 3, 4 years ago is gone. And I kept trying to get some version of that back, pieces of it, by doing the same kinds of activities I was doing then, by trying to go back to old routines and things, by putting this unnecessary pressure on myself, like, why aren't you feeling confident? Why aren't you feeling empowered anymore? Where's the magic? Where's your spiritual connection? You should work out longer, harder. You should do more of this, more of that. Eat this, not that. Be this, not that. And I realized what I was doing is actually a very old habit in a new disguise. I was still beating myself up in a sense, but beneath the guise of self-improvement, instead of just letting myself breathe and have more compassion and patience for this version of myself. Bottom line, I didn't have enough unconditional love for myself as this exact moment me, in my slight weight gain, in my lethargy, in my confusion, in my trepidation, in my exhaustion. But here's the thing that is so simple, but somehow has taken me the greater part of my life to realize it, and it's that you can't shame or berate yourself into change. You can only love yourself through it. To love ourselves is to love all of us at every stage, especially those in-between versions where we've lost our tail or we're only halfway out of the cocoon or the snakeskin. Sometimes that can be hard to do, and sometimes we get stuck. I'm not the highest expression of myself. I am not the highest expression of myself last year. Who knows when or if I may even reach this, quote, highest expression. But unconditional love means holding space, grace, and compassion for each one along the way. And actually, I want to share something here. I heard something my friend Candy shared the other day on Instagram that resonated with me, and I saved the post. And it said, quote, go be your favorite self. We are used to the higher or best, but favorite leaves room for grace. I'm going to be the version of myself that I like right now in this moment. How great is that? Who you are today isn't who you were or who you have yet to become, but at a core level, who you are remains unchanged. And this is love. Sometimes it just takes this shedding and molting process to strip it all away. This is where that opening poem comes in. To first understand the snake before we can shed its skin and do it again and again and again, because that's all life is. It's just a series of a whole lot of changes. And you can either learn to flow with it or you can keep resisting it and make it way harder on yourself. But you would do well to listen to at least some of this and try and pick the pieces that resonate with you and maybe integrate some things. Some of us have so much excess, so much conditioning and trauma piled on top of that, that it may take 2 or 3 digits worth of proverbial shedding until we even get a glimpse of this love underneath, of the versions that are underneath there. And then we keep digging and finding more and more. But this is the beauty and wonder of life. As we shed, we become. These new versions are revealed, and it's like we're meeting ourselves again and again. And not just that, it works with anything you're striving for. You want more confidence? That's already deep within you. You want more resolve to believe in yourself more, to be stronger or more passionate, more emotional, more in touch with the natural or spiritual world, or whatever. Maybe you envision yourself wearing electric blue tutus and purple sequin jackets and slinging lemonade and tacos at the farmer's market, being your brightest and most carefree, whimsical self. Guess what? That version already lives inside you somewhere. It's just all these layers we have to peel away little by little, micro movement by micro movement, to get to that version. It's all baby steps. That's where I'm at now. I can see my own progress from years ago, from my first open mic to whatever I'm about to embark on in the coming months. I can see how one thing builds on the other, and how even now I still have more incubating to do, more tails and skins to shed, yet more change to embrace. And it's a hell of a lot easier to do when you try and see it from a more positive point of view and tell yourself a helpful story, that it can get to be fun and to hold space for yourself when you inevitably fuck up or get it wrong, because you will, or when things feel hard and people come and go. And you will have people come in and out of your life for certain stages to teach you certain lessons. Some will stay, some will go. Some will be there through all of it, through that 375th skin, or what feels like it, as it comes off. And even if the next one underneath is just a version of you that wears a lot of loungewear and has enough energy to only make Fruit Loops or instant mac and cheese for the next 2 months, the people that love you the most are going to be there for you to cheer even that version of yourself on and support you as you grow and hopefully offer to cook for a little more for you. Thank God for the people in my life that have baked me lasagna, cooked a feast of tacos, and then graced me with the leftovers. God bless ya. But the most important thing here, what this phase of my life is asking of me, is that we must first learn to, first and foremost, be this person for ourselves. You have to love you the hardest, the most, the biggest. Then the universe works her magic and mirrors that back to you. But if you're berating yourself, just as I was, for not working out 6 times a week while simultaneously looking effortlessly put together every day and greeting each dawn with a smile and a life is fucking fabulous right now attitude, you're doing yourself a great disservice. You will have this Beyonce version, yep. You will have a J-Lo version or a Lizzo version, but you'll also have a goblin, a hobbit version, an exhausted, overworked, I just want to live in my blanket fort and eat cake for a month or 12 version. A please don't even text me because I will leave your ass on red version. A put on the shoes and go through the motions version. And the manifester's personal favorite, a burn it all to the fucking ground and start over version. That's powerful shit. But all of it is worth something. All of it is valuable and teaching you something. What I'm saying here is just allow space to keep becoming and learn to let it go. If we want to make space for the next version, the next thing, the next stage, sometimes you just gotta hold your breath, hold your nose, and flush the fucking toilet. I know. We're gonna go back to that gross dream for a minute. Yep. I think one of the biggest places we fight change is with some of those big supporting characters in our lives, because you are the main character, but you have so many supporting roles of people in your movie. And when we're with a particular person for so long that sees us through so many versions of ourselves, when we begin to change so much, sometimes we get to a point where we realize certain people just can't come with us into the next part if we want to continue to grow. And that can be super heartbreaking of a realization. Some people will just hold us back if we can't let go. And you are the only one who can make that choice. Sacrifice yourself and hold on in the name of whatever, safety, comfort, fear, and forgo whatever this next version of you has in store, which is most definitely magic and something better. Or will you trust that what's coming is far better than what you're letting go of? This is especially true if you are like me and was or are holding on to a marriage or relationship far past its expiration date. I have another episode coming on this, so I won't go into it too much on here, but suffice to say, only you know what's best, but try not to fear change so much. In my personal experiences, I found that whatever comes next is infinitely better, and usually better than we could have even imagined. Letting go is tough. Surrender is a practice, and as creatures of habit, we crave comfort and stability. We ride every route, sometimes, of that struggle bus with change. We stay in relationships that no longer serve us because we're afraid what's on the other side, or if we can survive on our own, or if we'll ever find love again. And yeah, you most definitely can find love again, and it's going to blow all your old relationships out of the water. Or, you know, we stay in jobs well past their prime because of the stability, even if they eat at our soul. And I get it, finances are absolutely a factor. There's a lot that goes into staying in a job that we aren't fully satisfied by. But the point I'm trying to make is the more we practice this art of letting go, in all of the little moments we can practice this, all as small as we can make that, the more we give ourselves the opportunity to reap the benefits and the rewards. Something new will come to fill the space. That's what we have to trust in, always. Maybe not in the timing we want, but it's always the timing we need. Holding on too long is essentially us holding ourselves back. I think a lot of us hold on for too long because we just don't trust ourselves. We hold on because our own inner voice has been tamped down or completely squashed by the outside world, by so many other people, or we lack a support system entirely to help us weather our changes and kind of gently guide us in the direction we need to go. Sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement. Many of us are conditioned to outsource ourselves, to do what everyone else thinks we should do, to be who others think we should be, to please everyone but ourselves, that it compounds so much over time. We completely lose who we are, or worse, we never allow ourselves to find out who that is in the first place. We fall into relationships that feel safe, and we think, okay, this is good enough. I have a person that loves me, or, you know, whatever your definition of love is at the time. And because I don't love myself enough, because I don't know my own love to its full extent, and because I don't trust myself, I'm going to hold on to this for as long as I can. And sometimes that will eat at you for years until you are so far gone, but you can always get yourself back. I see this time and time again in so many of my friends, and I read it on the internet. I was Googling the same shit some of you no doubt have. Listen, when I was waffling between the decision to stay or go in my marriage, I can't even tell you the amount of times I probably Googled, should I get a divorce? Like, Google was some magic eight ball I could shake until I got the answer I wanted. I was listening to podcasts and reading books on it. I was essentially looking for someone else to just give me permission to leave my own marriage because I didn't trust myself. I'd never given myself that chance. But this process of going inward, really listening to that quiet voice inside and asking yourself what you really want, what you need, is the only way you'll reach your own personal clarity. Because that's the thing. Only you know what's best for you. Not your parents, not your friends, not your boyfriend's second cousin's grandma Mimi. It's only you and your inner truth. And at first, that voice will be a very soft whisper. But if you keep ignoring it, eventually it will start screaming at you. And eventually it might get violent towards you. Like, mine was a whole thing. But you owe it to yourself now, and to every prior version of you, every version henceforth, to listen to that voice. And maybe it's monumental, like a relationship, whether exiting an old one or even opening yourself, especially opening yourself up to being vulnerable in a new one. Or maybe it's moving houses, cities. Maybe it's going for your goals, and that means more responsibility or taking risks, doing things you've never done, starting a business, investing your money. Maybe it's a physical change, or maybe it's health related, or maybe it's embracing discovering your sexual identity, or transitioning, exploring gender identity. Happy Pride Month, by the way. Love is love, and we fucking love to see it. There's a million things that require us to embrace change. But whatever change you're trying to embrace, big or small, or whatever you're trying to let go of, it's okay. And maybe that right there is all you need, to just hear some encouragement from someone else who has gone through a shitstorm of change, to be like, hey, she did it, so can I. Let's just take whatever small step I can here in the interim, in the here and now, to help me get to that other side. Because you are so powerful, and your needs, your wants, your dreams matter because you matter. And I know we all have conditioning that's centuries thick that says everyone else must come before us, or that we're supposed to follow certain societal norms or whatever. But choosing something different can be beautiful, and choosing your own happiness is not selfish. That's some total bullshit right there. If you're not happy, change it. You have that power. You can't expect other people to make you happy or know what's right for you. No one knows what's right for you except you. Other people can absolutely enhance your happiness, though, but only you are responsible for your happiness and well-being. You got to take care of you before you can really take care of anyone else anyway. You got to first have the things to give before you can give them to anybody else, right? Can you be brave enough to first give them to yourself? To just allow yourself, like, if you can do nothing else, if you're just stuck in a rut, trying to embrace change, trying to make movements, just start here by just allowing whatever that thought is to just come into your energetic field, your brain, your imagination, and just let it be there without trying to change it, without trying to swat it away, or without start spinning stories about what it could mean. Just let it be there. Just welcome it in, because it will inevitably start to change. Just let it be there and see what comes of that. Because I know some of you are probably just stuck right now, and you don't even really know why. I mean, you do. Like, deep, deep down, I think you do. But you can't or won't acknowledge it. And all of that is okay, too. In time, you'll reach your own answers, and you'll really be able to dig into whatever is coming up for you. We have to first learn to hold that space for ourselves. We have to be able to say, okay, maybe I can't fully look at this thing right now, but I can at least have an awareness of it. I can at least know that, okay, it's there, and I'll be gentle on myself until I'm really ready to, like, dig in and unpack it. And everything will happen on its own time. And when you finally make a move, when you finally begin to feel those little micro shifts, they will compound. And it'll be so slow, like, you're not going to see that whole process until you've reached this change that you're trying to get towards. And one day you'll be sliding out of that old skin. And you know what? One day you won't even miss it. All that old stuff. I considered having a conversation with my boyfriend and point blank saying, hey, I need to know that you will still love me if I change. And then I thought about that and I realized it wasn't him I needed to have that conversation with. It was myself. I needed the reassurance from myself that if I changed, if I gained weight, if I lost my confidence, if I stopped writing, if I entered my goblin era, if I was just a single mom living an ordinary life on repeat for a little bit, for however long that molting stage would last, would I still love myself? Would I still accept myself? Would I have grace and compassion and patience for myself? And it took me so long to learn to love myself and build the connection to self that I now have, So anything threatening that connection feels a little scary and intimidating to me. But I'm so grateful for the relationship I'm in now, because I don't have to worry about that, because we both know how to make and hold space for ourselves, and therefore can hold and make space for the other. Point blank, that's what we've got to learn to do. Make space first within ourselves so we can then hold space for others, and change becomes so much easier that way. With support, with encouragement, leading by example. We can't hold on to the stuff if we want the new stuff. Whatever your new is, it's like a suitcase, and you can only fit so much shit in there. If you want new clothes, or new things to put in your suitcase, you're gonna have to get rid of some old stuff. Just allow yourself to visualize and entertain the thoughts of what if. What if is such a powerful game. Just sit with these potential changes and picture what could come of them that could empower you and bring you closer to the you, or perhaps the career, the love, the life that you desire. Because if you don't ever let something go, nothing new can fill its space. And those what ifs will always remain what ifs. Will you be okay not knowing how any of that would actually play out? Will you be okay never making any of those changes, big or small, whatever the change is? This is the balance, being with where you are right now, being okay with that. Have all the compassion for yourself in the in-between, but start telling yourself more empowering stories about what change can bring. Because language is magic and words are spells. And it all starts within, in you, in your internal world. So what kind of story do you want to tell yourself? And this is why I believe so much in the power of tapping, because it is a way to rewrite all of those stories that we grew up with and became conditioned by. And it's a powerful and honestly a fun way to rewire your subconscious, and you get to choose the programming. Without that pressure of holding on so tightly, literally anything can change and shift, and you can create your next reality. You can create this next version of yourself that you want to become. And the best part is, it is Gemini season, baby. The winds of change are upon us, and I, for one, can't wait to see where they lead.
Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Reviews will help this pod to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open, and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, and podcast episode releases, please head to my website, maverickmalone.com, and sign up for my email newsletter. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.